that some people who chose rather not to listen to the will of God. You've probably heard them talked about in every church service you've ever been in. It's the children of Israel. They were noted for not doing the will of God. They always wanted to do their own thing. Anybody relate to that? That's the way we are. We want to do our own thing. Problem is, we want to do it outside of the will of God, when in reality, if we will embrace the will of God for our lives, we will see just how much He cares for every detail of your life. I have to say that honestly, that the law really brought about details. It brought people into a detail-oriented world about their clothes, about their hair, about the way they look, about everything, about the ways chairs were set, about the way that the building was decorated. God was into the details. And I think the whole point of that, a lot of it, was to introduce us to the fact that He cares about the details in our lives. God, where am I getting gas money to go to work next week? Well, I as a man, can't tell you where you're going to get it from. I know I've had that same problem, and we were like, where are we going to get gas money to get home? We went to some meetings one time years ago and said, God, how are we getting home? We don't have the money really to get home. And while we were there, the guy in front of us turned around and said, here, God wants you to have this. Now, just so you know, he looked poorer than I did. But God had prepared him. So God was caring about the details in our lives. He just wanted us to trust Him. So go ahead and open your Bibles this morning to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. As you do, I'm going to pray. Lord God, we thank You now for Your word. We receive it. Father, I pray that You prepare every mind and every heart to understand what You are saying to Your body today. Lord, use my mind, speak through my mouth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Numbers chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. Okay, this is real simple. He said, go to one of each of the 12 tribes, pick one leader. So the men they picked, ladies and gentlemen, were not... Oh, yeah, let's go back in the corner and see if Billy Joe Bob wants to go spy him. No, they didn't go for the guy that was hiding in the corner. They went for the guy that was up front, who was leading and was being the voice for his people, and what was happening to his people was on the forefront of his mind, okay? God will allow us to make decisions of our own design, the ones that exclude faith in Him. A lot of people think, oh, God controls it. I'm going to tell you right now, God does not control everything. Okay? You've got to understand this. I keep having people go, oh, Pastor, I still believe God controls it. God does not control everything. If God did, Satan would have never fallen. Adam would have never fallen. However, God knew that they were going to, and He manipulated the situation around. Okay? He did not control that. God does not control us unless we totally surrender. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've had some people say, oh, God just totally controls me. They need to go back and understand what the word control means. Because they aren't quite acting like God's controlling them. And I'll tell you why, because you got a remote control car, Ryan? Anything remote control? Helicopter, right. You got the helicopter. You turn the little joystick one way, you expect that helicopter to go that way, don't you? You don't expect it to do whatever it wants to do. But see, that's the way people a lot of times say when they say, well, God controls my life. God's controlling to steer you this way and you're going down this way. So God will allow us to make those decisions. But God already knew you were going to make that decision and that you're out of His will. And so, I'm going to have to bring them back into my will. See, God wanted me to join the Marine Corps long before I ever did. But I wouldn't do it. I was going to get cozy in a nice job. Going to make lots of money. For that age, I was going to be making a lot of money. I thought, oh yeah, life's going to be good. That was the worst year of my life. I think I might have made $800 the whole year. Everything I touched, it seemed like it was going to go take off running great, and then all of a sudden, fell flat on its face. My grandpa gave me a truck. Oh, yeah, it was great. He said it just used a little oil, which was no problem, except for the engine couldn't keep up with the oil that it was losing. So we changed the engine. Next thing you know, we got transmission problems. Then we go back to engine problems. And let's not even get my love life involved in it. But it finally came when I turned my life over to God. He said, okay, now you're finally making the right decision. See, just so you understand, it's not that I refused to enlist. I had even told the Army recruiter, he called my house one day in the middle of the winter after I graduated and said, you want to serve? I said, listen, if there's a war, I'll join the Marines. You should watch what you pray for, right? Yeah, you might just get it all. The only thing is, ladies and gentlemen, there's a price that we will pay for making our decision outside of the will of God. A contrary decision to the will of God is a faithless move, and it's going to have its consequences. God's never going to ask you to do something that He hasn't already made provision for. Yeah, I like using Rob and Katie here as an example. God had already ordained when you put your house up for sale that you were supposed to come back. Then they got there, they said, okay, God, if you want us in Ohio, sell the house. Boom. Wow, that was simple. But you see, I remember Rob when he came back, he said, you know, I transferred inside the company to this area. And he said, they said they needed people. Rob came back and says, they don't need people. They did not need me up here. But God knew he needed to be here. God wanted him back here. So God made provision within a company that really didn't need the guy here that said, yeah, we need you here in that area. What a coincidence, huh? God will make the provision. However, if we continue to stand against God and say, no, we're not doing this, We're just not. That's why, you know, we finally said, you know what, God? We're done trying to sell our house. Forget it. I'm not worried about selling my house anymore. If that's where I grow old, that's where I grow old. It's not happening. But what I want to do is I want to make sure that I'm following the will of God in everything. If it's God's will that house sells, I believe God's going to send somebody. Going to give me the price I want. They love the house. They'll take care of the house. Because I do kind of have a problem doing that. Letting go of something that I've worked so hard to fix up and then watch somebody else destroy it. I wonder how God feels now. Sometimes everything seems like it's playing out correctly the way that it should. Well, this is the way I expected it to go. And then all of a sudden, look back and we start seeing the parts of our plans falling out. Now, if we were to merely look on the surface at this scripture, we would draw one conclusion, that God sent the spies. I had this question posed to me, and that's, if you look at that, God said this. We would assume that God was the originator of this plan. But that is not the entire story. As I've said before, you need to read the Bible. You need to investigate. You need to pay attention to details. And if I can get the second page of my notes to separate, go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're going to go to verse 20. Now this is Moses recounting to the people of Israel all the things that have taken place. And Moses said, "And I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord your God is giving us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and of the cities in which we shall come. 23. Then the plan pleased me well. So I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe." Whose plan was it? It was Israel's. It wasn't God's plan. God's plan, he didn't need spies. See, the thing is, God already knew the villages. He already knew the cities. He already knew the people. He already had all the provision in place for this. He just needed those people to cross that river. That's all he needed them to do, was to go on in and take what was theirs. But no, they said, hey, let's do this